The following is brought to you in association with and from a proud partner of the Shining Wizards Network. Entertainment here.
Are you looking for the newest and hottest in the world of pro wrestling? Then check out the amazing action on Powerslam.tv, the biggest indie pro wrestling channel in the world. Get over 6,000 hours of the best events from over 150 of your favorite promotions from 20 different countries around the globe. Brands like Progress Wrestling, Evolve Wrestling, Combat Zone, Defy, PCW Ultra, PWX, Over the Top, Shine, and hundreds of others with fresh content added every day for only $5.99 per month. Get your free trial today at powerslam.tv.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Hello again, guys, and welcome to another episode of the Brocast podcast, but it's something a little bit different, especially in the video format, as this is our first ever episode on the Universal Wrestling Podcast YouTube page. Alan, how you going?
Hello, everyone. It is me, Alan of the Brocast. Yes, that is right, guys. We are on a new endeavor. Tom, how are you?
Bro, I'm going good, and I can happily say the countdown has struck zero, guys. It's been something I got multiple DMs from many other podcasts saying, what's this, you know, 04-23-23 thing? Or in Australia, what's the 23-04-23 thing? Because in Aussie, our date and month is the other way. But we had lots of people saying, what's going on? What's happening here? And yeah, it's great to know that we've partnered up with, you know, Keith and Nick from the Universal Wrestling Podcast, some great dudes, and also partnering up there with the Bloodline Entertainment Network. So a wealth of other podcasts that we joined, and we're adding some international flavor, I would say, with us on the Brocast.
Yes, two Aussie fellas, two Aussie brothers all the way from the land down under have come here to be your viewing pleasure right here and now. Very, very cool.
Just looking for my mute tab, and I don't see it actually on the Riverside app. Do you see, where's your mute tab? Do you see yours?
You just click on the mic, and it just goes mute mic.
Look at you all Riverside it up now, haven't you?
You know it. Did my research, know what I'm doing now. Yep. This once podcast of many, 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 many moons ago, was just you and I sitting at your place with the actual microphones that we had at one time were SingStar microphones that were actually duct taped to, I believe it was like a stand, very much like this one here, but it was very shoddily done. But hey, we did what we could when we first started podcasting.
Well, even before that, we actually didn't even have mics. Like when we first started, we had an iPad that would just like sit on the table. And we would kind of lean in if we had a comment to say. Even a few times we used to use our phone. Like my original old iPhone, like 6 or 7, that was our original microphone with no headsets. Like we would actually watch a movie, but have the volume down on the film so that wouldn't be picked up on the mic as we're trying to actually record our show in those early days.
Is it our third episode? I think we did. We introduced our brother Nathan. He was on the show with us. And we were on our way to an NXT show that was down here in Australia. And how we set it up in the car was ridiculous because you could hear us faintly in the background, but you could hear Nathan perfectly because he was sitting in the back. We were sitting in the front, and how the phone was positioned, it was basically, I don't know what it was. He must have had a really good, like, leverage where he was, but for the rest of us, we were just like, And I've only listened to it once, and once was enough. I was like, Jesus, what are we listening to here?
I think what we did, I think we actually took a mic into the car, but the mic was kind of in the back seat where he was, but wasn't aimed at us in the front seat. So, like, we're talking to each other, but the mic's in the back. So when he had a comment, he would lean into the mic and sound clear, where you and I are, like, twisting to say something, and it sounds like we're, like, cars away from him.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, that was our, well, what do we call it? I think it was triple threat rules, where we did, like, a 20-minute chat. But again, we learn. You know, I've had a few laughs with people about what software do you use to edit, what software, what mics do you use when you record. And, like, even the 2020 year, I would say it was my most challenging year on this show, because that was the first time we ever went online. Mm-hmm. And we had different headsets. We were picking up different frequencies.
Yes.
I would hear hissing in my microphone. There would be static. We would lose internet, like, mm-hmm. midway through a recording or before a recording. We would have weather storms. We would lose power. But that's the joys, guys. I'm looking at the camera. Becoming a podcaster, that's what happens to you. You have to take all that stuff into account, and it helps you grow and move forward. But Alan, how you been? I haven't seen you in a few weeks. Did you enjoy WrestleMania?
I am doing well. I've been working quite a lot, which has been good for me. It gets me out of trouble. We're discussing Mania. Okay, cool. Night one, enjoyed thoroughly. It was very much an enjoyable night, evening, actually morning. It was a 10 o'clock start down here for us in Oz, and I watched it with my boy, and he and I enjoyed it, and my partner also got involved and watched it with us as well too. It was quite fun. It was interesting because we have spoken about this a few times that, we almost predicted mostly what was going to be set in seeds that will be coming up now. There's happening current wrestling, but happening back then, we were just like, oh, this is very interesting how things are going to go like this. And also the predictions that we thought was going to happen. And then so many things that didn't happen. Night one was thoroughly enjoyable. The hands down, the Rhea Ripley and Charlotte Flair match was just 10 stars right there. I thoroughly enjoyed that match. It was so incredibly well done, and it was so very cool to have an Aussie girl, Rhea Ripley, to get the W, and that was very good to see. And then also, you were right about the main event. I thought that the women's match was going to be the main event, but the storytelling of Owens and Sammy versus the Uso Bros for the tag titles. And I never ever thought in my life that we would ever see a tag team match for the tag team titles in a main event at a WrestleMania of all the times. And in Vince McMahon, I don't know if he was at that time, you know, I remember Vince McMahon would never allow something like that. He would never allow a tag team match for the titles to ever be. That's a tag team is mainly like maybe the match before, but it's never the main event. It's always a triple threat or a four-way or a one-to-one or a cage match, a Hell in a Cell, you name it. It's just how things were just aligned right there. And I thought, yeah, fantastic. And that match was, and we knew, I knew in myself that, yeah, you've got to give the Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens the win. Give the Bloodline a loss. Sorry, give the Usos a loss. But then there's night two. And I tried to enjoy night two. And it was a kick in the belly when you thought that the story was going to get told. And it didn't. So, Roman Reigns regained his title. And Cody Rhodes lost with a rubber chicken in the ring. Brock Lesnar was in the very first match. I think that might have happened a couple of years ago with he and Seth. That match happened at a WrestleMania. But again, he went against the Giant. And it was kind of fun, that match. He was being thrown around. Brock was actually taking some decent bumps, and then he got the W. What were your, what's your opinion on both shows?
So I watched night one or day one as it actually took place because that was our Sunday. So I actually watched that with my son, match by match. Terrific show, great matches. One thing you just said that made me think as well, you know, talking about a tag team championship main event, think of all those years where they had like the pre-show and that was like the opening match, you know, Primo and Kalisto, you know, Kalito, what's his name? Kalito, you know, in an opening dark match from WrestleMania. It was always like all the tag champs are going to be in the Andre the Giant Battle Royal. And I think all these years later, it's in the actual main event. And I think the key that what puts it there is story. It's the storytelling behind it. You know, it deserved to be in that spot because of the seeds and stories that took months and months of planning and then having that ending, you know, the happy ending. And I knew that's the happy ending, KO and Sammy winning. We're not going to get it the night after. And you and I shared a couple of DMs and a couple of tweets at each other on the next day. And I knew I could just feel it. I'm like, he wants Cody. He wants Cody to get it. And I'm like, when it happens and he doesn't win, I wonder how he's going to feel. And I know, I think we shared a message and you were like, I think you just wrote cool to something. Like you, I could just tell you're, mainly happened hours ago, but you're still feeling like shit. The story was not finished. We didn't get the ending that I wanted. And I called it. I just felt like it was like, nah, he's got to go through a loss. He's got to know what it's like to be that close and not get it to get him to come back. But I'm even feeling sadly that, like, I had this idea in my head, like, yeah, they'll get him at SummerSlam. I don't think we're gonna. I feel with this new draft they've got coming up soon that he's going to get lost in the mix. I feel like he's not going to be the one to do the dethroning. How quickly that can change, that's just again, my perception, my view of the product. I feel this Brock Lesnar feud is going to probably take him out in storyline, but then how does he get back to the Roman matchup? Because if Brock's going to be there, he'll always be the one to jump in front of everybody else.
Oh yeah,
we're going to do Roman versus Brock 47 at another SummerSlam for the championship belt. But overall, great matches. I enjoyed the show. I went back and watched Night One again last week just to kind of really enjoy the experience of it. And I think it's a bucket list of mine to one day go to a WrestleMania. Yes. And if that means them ever coming here or us ever going there, it's definitely something that I think I would love to experience. And even a few of our close friends, you know, within the podcasting community have gone to them. They might have rooftop seats, but they said it doesn't care where you sit. Like, it's WrestleMania. Like, there's thousands upon thousands of people. It's an international event. There's all the stuff leading up to the show where you can go and, you know, get autographs and signatures and buy championship belts and T-shirts and those big conventions. But, you know, WrestleMania weekend was great. And here we are on our way to Backlash, which is actually coming up in a few weeks. And it's actually not called WrestleMania Backlash, which is actually quite good to have a bit of a difference there this year going forward.
Oddly enough that you say that it is known as Backlash, but Cody did drop a promo the other week by calling it WrestleMania Backlash. I don't know what that's all about. Interesting.
Yeah, so I think it's the Triple H, you know, directive is let's try and make the, as they call them, the premium live event. They don't call them pay-per-views anymore. They kind of want to have a bit of flavor, you know, for each show and not having to say you've got to watch Mania to watch Backlash. Backlash has always been one of my favorite pay-per-views. I think back to some of the very first ones. My favorite Backlash, I would probably say, was 2000. You know, that was the one when you had Rock, Triple H for the championship, Stone Cold comes back. First time Austin's been back since being hit by the car in November, comes out and actually helps the Rock, you know, become, you know, World Wrestling Federation champion. The month's reign, you know, ended the next month in, you know, in Judgment Day in the Iron Man. But I always loved that show because it had an absolute classic, which was Dean Malenko and Scotty Too Hotty for the light heavyweight championship. And it featured one of the most brutal top rope finishes when Malenko DDTs him, like shifts his body midway and DDTs him from the top rope and scores an absolute awesome win. But I love Dean Malenko. It was one of my favorite characters. It was not the ladies' man. It was a bit different than that. But what's your Backlash memories? Any show pop up to you, a matchup, a memory, a card, anything from any previous Backlashes?
I'm just trying to go way back, but I believe it was the follow-up of Edge and Mick Foley. after the table spot at that Mania. I can't remember which Mania it was. But I think it was a month later. Well, I think it's like, yeah, like 4 weeks later. I think was that at the time where Mick turned heel and he joined up with Edge? And I can't remember. It was somebody called him a prostitute. I don't know if it was, I can't for the life of me, but I remember at that time it was a heel turn for Mick Foley. And he became like everyone. It was really kind of fun to see Mick Foley as a heel in WWE. We haven't seen Mick Foley portray a heel since Dude Love. And that was back in 98, 99. But I think it was during that time he and Edge had that run together. And it was during the ECW time as well, too. And so I don't know if it was Tommy Dreamer or Paul Heyman, but someone called Mick Foley a prostitute.
Yeah, so, I think you're talking about 06. So that was after WrestleMania 22, which we've actually covered. We covered that match up in the TPK Vault for, I think it was one of our Oh My God from season one. And I think, yeah, it was on the road to One Night Stand where Heyman said, yeah, you prostituted your name, you prostituted your character. And then we had Dreamer come in. And then we had that awkward, would have been a tag match that became a six-person intergender tag where we had Lita, Edge, and Foley against Bueller, Dreamer, and Funk. And what happened to poor Terry Funk with some barbed wire there, Al?
He took some barbed wire to the eyeball, didn't he? My eye.
And he also fell backwards on a board, I think, too, in the back of the head as well.
And we've also covered this as well, too. We've done so many shows, it's ridiculous, but we actually did cover that in the entirety of that show. Yeah, night two, wasn't it? The second one they did, or was this is the first one? Yeah.
We did both. We did a bonus episode. I think there was something where we reached a certain amount of followers and we're like, oh, let's do One Night Stand 05.
Mm-hmm.
With the idea being next bonus show, we'll do 06. But then we reached that limit of followers like a month later and had to just do it anyway. So we taped both. But that was a great show. That was Van Damme versus Cena?
Cena for the WWE
title. And what else was it? Taz versus Jerry Lawler?
At the beginning.
In the opening match, yeah.
We had Rey Mysterio take on Sabu, and the match got called off because Rey got DDT'd through a table, and the physician there, the man was like, I'm calling it off, it's over. And who was it? Eugene came out and started reciting a poem that he wrote, and out came the Sandman and beat the mentally handicapped up with canes. Yeah, I was
trying to think too. I thought there was Mike Awesome on that card, or was he on the previous one? Because I think he took on Tanaka, didn't he? And they had a 5 minute Smash Mouth match. But I don't think they fought the year. I'm going to pull up the card just to actually see, because I think it was that year, or it might have been another one. No, it was the year before, because 06 was Balls Mahoney took on Tanaka in a 5 minute one. Yeah. Very nice.
So, what is the plan of attack tonight, bro?
Well, guys, if you actually have been checking out our show, thank you for doing that, on also the Universal Wrestling Podcast YouTube page. You can check us out on Twitter at The Brocast. That's TheBrocast. Also, send us your promos if you want a promo to be featured on our video or audio, brocast2@gmail.com. You can also check us out on Instagram at The Brocast Podcast. I'm actually putting in a LinkedIn for us that'll be coming up very soon, where you can show all our content in one simple place. We're actually going to be covering a Backlash match this episode. We're not going to do an entire pay-per-view. Again, Alan and I are both very busy men, and we have some gaming to do after we do this episode. So we're going to be just covering one match, and we are traveling to the year 2004. This was, again, a year that I have touched on that I wasn't religiously watching the product. I kind of came back in 05, maybe 06, 07 I dropped out again, and then came back in around 08, 09. But this is the big run of Evolution. Evolution is a mystery, but they are actually beating each and every contender from Triple H, Batista, Randy Orton, and Ric Flair. And this is the last match that would actually be the end of Orton versus Foley, as we are watching their no-holds-barred match for the WWE Intercontinental Championship. And this was from Backlash 2004. Any comments, Al, on this one?
I believe at the same time as you, I was not watching wrestling religiously. This was on a on-again, off-again thing for me. So this will be an interesting match. I remember this one particular spot in this match. I'm not going to say what it is because we're going to watch it together with all of you. But one spot in this is just, it's tattooed into my brain. And I believe it might be the people there that night that actually were at this pay-per-view and witnessing with their eyes and also being in the crowd and also watching on pay-per-view would have been, it would be tattooed into their brains as well.
I agree. It was definitely a crazy match. I watched this yesterday just to kind of get some, a couple of notes. And I'm like, man, I haven't watched this in so many years, but I'm like, there is a lot of spots. It's brutal. It's something that you really wouldn't see Randy Orton ever actually going through. To think the Randy Orton Viper we have today, someone that's bled, there's been fire, there's been barbed wire, there's been broken shoulders, broken collarbones, sledgehammers, punts. But this was a different Randy Orton. You know, this was the young gun in Evolution, one of the longest IC title reigns of the time. He won that championship from RVD, I believe, was the previous Armageddon, which actually was the show where Evolution won all the belts.
Yes.
You know, the actual show ended with Evolution on the rampway with the World Heavyweight, the IC, and also the World Tag Team Championship. So we're watching this either on Daily Motion or you can watch it on Binge. So this is actually the sixth match on the card. So we have our links on our audio description and also our video links so you can watch along with us. We'll also have our numbers be popping up just about here, so you can actually sync up and actually watch along with us. But before we actually do that, we want to give a shout out to not one, but two great wrestling podcasts. Check these guys out.
The Shining Wizards is the greatest wrestling podcast of all time. Don't believe me? Tune in and check us out. We laugh, we cry, we interview some of the greatest people in professional wrestling, and we have some of the greatest segments of all time, including everyone's favorite wrestling game show, Can You Beat That? We're live 6:50 p.m. East on Monday night on all social media platforms, and we're with you wherever you go on every single streaming and podcasting platform as well. Check us out. Go over to ShiningWizards.com and join us for some wrestling talk and talk about wrestling.
Are you tired of being lied to every day by the mainstream media?
Do you want to know what's really going on in the world?
Do you want to make up your own mind about things and not be told what to think or say?
Then listen to Inconclusive Breakdown, a weekly anti-PC look at the world of entertainment and current events brought to you without censorship or filters.
You can find us everywhere you listen to podcasts, BitChute, and on ShiningWizardsNetwork.com.
And also, we're a proud member of the Shining Wizards Network.
All right, guys, we are back. Alan, could you give us our countdown?
All right, ladies and gentlemen, get ready to press play with us in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
See, I always laugh when I look at that rampway because it brings me back to that 2001 when you had the swinging little hooks.
Mm-hmm.
And there was actually a hardcore match, I think, on that card where Jeff Hardy did a Hurricane Runner off those actual flying hooks in that it was a 5-man hardcore championship challenge or something like that.
Crazy. Look at this kid. Look how young he is here. No holds barred.
With the sleeves cut off too. And look what he's carrying. What's in the bin there, Al?
That's a trash can.
It's a bin, mate.
It's a trash can. We've got some we've got some cookie sheets. Looks like we've got some barbed wire. Looks like a 2x4, maybe wrapped in barbed wire. Referee Mike Chioda. The lovely Leon Garcia.
And again, he was one of my favorites. Always has been. You know, I love when Orton debuted. I love the cocky heel. You know, when he had that Randy Orton news report, you know, what are you doing? I think you muted yourself.
That was a good joke there, and I actually muted myself there, guys. I'm learning. I love my cocky heel.
I didn't say I love a good cock. I said I like a cocky heel.
Yeah, you said
heel.
Cocky heel. I know what you said. Yes. I know what you said.
How dare you?
Yeah, hello, everyone. It's Mick Foley.
Cactus I was Jack. So confused. I'm so confused with this because I'm like, wait a minute, wasn't this Cactus Jack? And then I'm like, wait a minute, they called him Mick Foley. He's coming out dressed as Cactus, but to Mankind Song.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Yeah, how weird's that? I'm like, wait a minute, I thought this was meant to be Cactus Jack.
What happened? Randy just destroyed his 2x4 wrapped in barbed wire.
I think he was threatening to throw it at him or something, but then it got tangled, I believe.
This is scary. This is really, really scary. Just like this pretty boy, and here comes...
Jesus.
You touch my daughter, I'm going to take your damn head off. Someone's got a cameraman down. Cameraman down.
We have a man down. We have a man down.
We have several men down. Oh, my God.
There he is. He's look at the poor fella.
Oh, God.
I've still got to shoot it, though.
I mean, I'm not going to lie, that's actually a really cool shot, just like paddling up and looking at the two titans with
Oh, look at that. There we go.
Just grazing the top of the head of Randy Orton. There's a Foley chant, but that's meant to be Cactus.
It's weird, isn't it? Because it's Mick Foley, but it's Mankind, but it's Cactus. Oh, I need some dude love, though. Yep, that was a big one. Jesus.
The headshots are just unsettling. I mean, I love it. Oh, fantastic.
And to think, like, so how long this
is for the Intercontinental Championship.
To think how long this has been going for. It was months and months. Like, I think he wrecked Randy Orton's Royal Rumble plans. He returned in that and attacked Randy. They had their great matchup, you know, Rock and Sock at WrestleMania 20. You know, Rock comes back, teams with Mick. They lose to Evolution in the handicap match.
Yes.
Hmm.
There's a box in the ring there, too. I think that was in the trash can that Randy Orton brought out.
Do you know what's inside there?
If it's Gwyneth Paltrow's head, I'm going to be very upset.
I was going to say, it's either Hulk Hogan's head or it's a picture of Scott Hall.
Ah, yes. Yeah. I glad
what was that? That was the San Francisco 49ers match, I think, in WCW, where Booker pulled down the Scott Hall picture. Yeah.
Yeah, I love that you went, you went wrestling and I went purely just alternative movies. I went to Gwyneth Paltrow, What's in the Box, Brad Pitt, and Kevin Spacey.
What movie is that?
I was about to ask, do you even know what movie? Seven.
Ah, yeah, that's the serial killer one, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Okay.
Morgan Freeman.
Hmm.
Yeah, it's just the twist at the end. Sorry for the spoilers. I mean, for fuck's sake. It's been out for nearly 30-odd years, people.
Sick of that shit. I was going to watch it
tonight. No. Here we go.
Oy, Mick Foley with a... Jesus.
They call him Rey Mysterio Mick Foley. He slides under.
Look at that.
Splat.
I would have wanted a toupee suicida, but I'm cheesy.
A toupee suicida with
by Mick Foley.
Yeah, here we go.
Oh, no.
Second. He's going to drop an elbow. Get down. I love that the referee is like, showing compassion to Mick. It's like, come on. Yeah, ref, you're just there to count the 1, 2, 3. This is a no disqualification, balls count anywhere type of match. Oh, God, he's going for the pretty boy's nose. Watch Mick's head here.
Oh, jeez. Just bounces off the rampway.
And the sadistic laughter of Jerry Lawyer.
That's what always made me laugh in these, like, as you were just saying, these no DQ matches, like the referee trying to tell him not to do certain things. It's like, dude, you're just there to ring the bell. pin or submit. You're not there to tell us how to wrestle the match. Just let us actually look at this ramp. Look at this here.
Oh my goodness.
Up on the ramp.
Up on the ramp. I don't think I've ever seen. That's the first time I've seen that one. Kick in the gut. Those kicks in the gut.
Oh, that was unsettling. Did you hear that?
Very reminiscent of. We got a fall. No, two count. Of Kevin Owens back at the Rumble against Roman Reigns against the steel steps. That was unsettling.
Yeah. No, that was cool.
Forearm shots to the face.
He's such a good sell, too.
Oh, yeah, big time.
Oh, God.
Here we go.
Well, as we're watching, what's one of your favourite Mick Foley matches?
As you know, if you're a fan of this show as well, too, Mick Foley is one of my favourites in and out of the ring. No, he's got the hands. He's stopping it. There's been a few I think we've actually covered on this show as well, too. But, yeah, I think, as always, is the Hell in a Cell match that he had against Taker. It always sticks out as well. It's always a great match. Watch that. Oh, mule kick to the dick, to the hog meat of young Randy Orton. Clothesline.
I think there's one thing we realized too with this show, that at one point Foley was like nearly in every single companion.
Yes.
Like nearly every second or every companion at least featured Foley, Cactus, Mankind. I think we had Dude Love once when we covered the 98 Rumble.
Yes.
But like every alter ego, but nearly every episode had actually featured Foley in some capacity, from an announcer to a GM to a wrestler.
It's interesting to see Cactus Jack with the Mr. Socko.
What's he asking the fans, which one do you want?
Yeah, which one do you want? And people were cheering for the bat.
Oh, there we go.
All right, let's do a close-up of Mick. Randy is on his, focus right on Mick. Randy doing a quick shear. There we go.
That's a shitload of barbed wire on that bat. That's so wrapped tight too.
Yeah.
Look at it.
And that
is. Oh. Jesus. I would probably say one of my favorite Mankind matches. What jumps out for me? This is a good one. I've really enjoyed this one, but I'll probably say two that we've covered. Street Fight, Rumble 2000, and No Way Out 2000. Absolute classics. I would probably choose Rumble 2000 over them all because of that final spot. Pedigree on the tacks, brutal, great matchup. My favorite against your favorite.
Yep.
Great time it was. So.
Oh, big time.
Mm.
Yeah, and I don't think we'll ever see another Mick Foley. Which is probably a good thing in this day and age. I mean, John Moxley can come out and every week and slash his head open and try to be a badass about it. And then you go out and do a shoot program and then have a sook about in an interview, which he loves to do. I know how much you old guys in AEW love to have a sook, don't they?
I don't know what you're talking about. I'm just hearing passion, so.
It's not passion, it's sooks. Bunch of sookie boys.
Well, when CM Punk comes back in Chicago in June, everything will be okay. So, yeah.
Are you legit think that Phil is coming back, do you?
I think they'll work out some deal. I think FTR sticking around for the next 4 years, being close friends with Punk, I think they're pushing for it. So I'm going to say, yeah, I hope so.
Look, I love me some FTR. I think they're one of the greatest tag teams on the planet. But, just ripping up the shirt now. Yeah. It's got, what is this?
Look at that. Oh no.
Oh no.
Oh. Like even the first placement would have scraped him a bit, and then the leg drop on top of that would have just shoved it straight into the scrotum.
And everybody, did you ever think you would say that on this podcast?
I was waiting to. I've been waiting years to say it, so.
I know, I was waiting to. The word of scrotum has not been used on this show for quite a while, guys, and we're glad to have it back. You know, welcome back to the broadcast. We're all scrotum all the time. I do love the crowd was very much into this match as well, too. You saw a lot of guys standing there going, oh, just throws the barbed wire down. This is pathetic.
That's just broken off the board, hasn't it? It's just broken off. Oh, no.
What? A gasoline can and...
We have not seen this since, what, someone like Kane back in, like, 98.
Yes.
Oh, look at that.
Just pouring it all over the... over the barbed wire.
We're getting some FMW action.
I was going to say, we got some fire action going here. What?
Oh, wait a minute.
Wait a minute. Eric Bischoff. Oh, God. You're encouraging him to
lie. I thought he was GM at this time, yeah. The problem is, too, he's got it near his hand, so that'll, like, set his arm on fire if he tries to light it. Oh, shit, here we go. Don't do it. Look at the crowd loving it. Your mic's off, buddy. Working?
Was this a Raw pay-per-view?
Yes.
Thought so.
Yeah, this is back before... I think they would only come together for the big four. So Rumble, Mania, SummerSlam, Survivor Series was co-branded, but then each of the other ones was also separate, so... And there's the... Oh, my God. Yep. There's the barbed wire board.
What? Why is that under the ring?
What, who made
what
it?
What is the purpose of that being under a wrestling ring? What is that to... If Randy Orton's beautiful body ever hits that. Gerald Lawyer, sir.
Maybe laugh though. It's like, oh, you got the box there. Wait a minute. No. Yeah, like I'm watching so many indie promotions do like, what is it? I saw someone put like, what is it? Like tin, like dog food tin as the actual sharp blade.
The lids.
Oh, they've put down like, yeah, dog like food lids and stuff like that.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
You know, that shit doesn't work.
Here we go. Watch this. Oh, body slam on the board.
So Randy, oh, shit. Randy had some cocaine in the box. That was inside, which gave him, he quickly did a quick snort, gave him some superhuman strength, threw it in Foley's eyes, and then slammed him on a board of razor wire. Things I would never think I would say in real life and explaining wrestling. No, I don't think it's real. I don't think it's cocaine, guys. I know it's the powder that doesn't do shit that we know that Dallas Page told us in Ready to Rumble.
Which you can check out in the TPK Vault, guys.
Yes, I was going to say, that's one of my favorite episodes. It's I think we should do, we should cover it again wherever we find out. It's like a 10-year or 20-year anniversary of Ready to Rumble.
Yeah, I think it came out in 99, I think it came out, or 2000, I think.
All right, well, 2029, we'll come back and we'll actually do the show for you guys. Oh,
look at that. Front first, too.
And a drop kick.
I love the way they sold that. Like, Ort just countered at the last moment to flip that Irish whip back. Oh, shit.
On the arm, too. That arm's already busted as well, too.
Well, the last big match that we watched that featured this kind of stuff was when we did Moxley Omega. Remember we covered that for the start of this season back in November? The full gear match. Yeah.
Unsanctioned match, wasn't it? It wasn't put under the books or... Okay, so we got...
There's the head. It's got the head out.
He's got the head chock full of head goodness. It's a bowling ball, just like El Snow did.
Before Tess slipped over on a tin on the bin lid.
trash can lid.
Oh, calm down. That's a lot of tax, dude. Holy shit.
Yeah, it's a lot.
That's enough. Shit.
And even Randy's like, okay, I'm going to RKO him into the tax. This is what his plan is. All right, he turns him around, kicks him in the belly. Shot to the face.
That's a lot of tax, dude. Look at that.
Yeah. Everyone's standing up too, which is kind of cool, especially during the hard cam. Run. He's going to run up.
Oh, what a counter.
If you want to get a piercing the hard way, this is how you do it.
Far out. That's a look how he's on his back.
And he's running through it. He's got his knees. Even the referee selling it is fantastic. He's got it in his arms. He's got it in his back, his forearms.
Look at that. He even rolls him in the roll-up, and he has to grimace because they're all on his back. Mm-hmm. That's crazy. He's got it.
Look at that. They're all sticking out of him. He's like a pincushion right there.
Shit.
Goddamn.
He's got him in his chest, it looks like, too, on his left pec. He's got a couple in the front there.
He's trying to peck it out of his hand. They're all in his hand. Someone help. Shit. Batista, Flair, Hunter, help. Get away from me.
I was actually watching the XPW Dark Side of the Ring the other day, and they were talking when Luke Hawk talks about when he was wrestling and he got a splash through the tacks. And he said, I had to sit in the back with pliers and, like, try and pull him out of my hand. Like, he said, they were just so deep in. I'm just pulling, and I couldn't grab it. I just couldn't nick the metal lid just to get the first one out. The things that people do, it's crazy.
What is he do? Oh, my.
Oh, crap.
Jesus Christ.
Foley throws Orton off the ramp and literally blows up the whole structure there.
Shit. I do remember watching this match and then going, you know what? Randy Orton, he's hardcore. He can take, you know, and this is where he would dom the new hardcore legend, wouldn't he? He would talk after he won this match. It was basically, look at the arm, look at Cactus's arm there.
That's crazy.
I wonder what happened when they went to the Gorilla. What was the, did they quickly, you know, they wanted to go in the back quickly because he probably had the tax inside of his hands. He probably wanted them out or something. It wasn't really explained why they went to the back.
Or is he just quickly checking in saying, no, I'm all good. It's all good. Yeah.
Yeah, it was just
interesting. Or he swore at Vince and said, Vince, this is a fucking stupid idea.
Yeah. He's swearing at Vince, or he swear at anybody that's there. It's like,
it's almost like turned into like a last man standing match. Like it almost could have been like a Texas death match.
Yes.
Which is surprising that they didn't do it, because that's a real throwback to like Cactus in like WCW, you know, having those old death matches and stuff like that.
Oh, little Jack Jones down. Heaven is down.
Look at this. Oh. Look at the camera shot. Look at that exposed wood though, too. You know, Foley nearly hit that.
If Foley wasn't careful, they could have got him right in the head.
That reminds me of the, do you remember the Sabu doing that in ECW?
Yeah.
He did a table spot and it went through like, almost into his head or something like that, into his eye.
Look at this. Yeet. Wow. Oh,
the air time.
Yeah, that thing, that sharp piece of
far out
wood. Alternate universe. Mick Foley's got lost an eye and he has a patch on his eye because that thing. That's right, full count anywhere.
Oh, that was nearly it then.
That was nearly it.
Yeah. Because I think with the old Texas death match, I think it was either you had to pin them first, and after you pin them, then it's last man standing. Like, you've got to get the victory first, then it's a stand. I reckon they should have done that for this one. That would have been awesome.
I think, again, that sounds like... I would imagine Vince looking at that and going, oh, no, we're not that Southern wrestling. We're the goddamn entertainment. We're WWE. Mm. We make our own rules. We use our own type of matches. We don't need to be that backyard or that, you know, that wrestling, that southern wrestling. Oh God. That this time was, I should know this, but I'm going to ask you anyway, was Impact or TNA around this time.
Yeah, I believe they would have done Lockdown, because Lockdown was their annual April event.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Did you see Orton trying to pick him out of his back then?
Yes, and several fell out then too. Like, he's brushing. I don't know if it's like irritating him or... Mick Foley's arm looks like... What a great shot that is there. Yeah, does he... I don't know if he rolls over them again. I think he forgets, or... That gasoline tanker is still in the ring.
The lighter's probably still there, too.
You hate to be... Oh, Butterfly DDT.
Ooh, kicks out. Yes, the counter-programming was Lockdown 06, which was Christian Cage was the NWA champion. He took on Abyss in the Six Sides of Steel for the world title. And the main event was the Lethal Lockdown, Sting's Warriors, which was AJ Styles, Sting, R-Truth, and Rhino against Jeff Jarrett's Army, which was Jeff Jarrett, Steiner, Chris Harris, and James Storm in 25 minutes 23. Great matchup, though. I actually enjoyed that one.
Fantastic.
Hmm.
Well, where's Randy gone? Oh, that was nasty.
That was a sledgehammer. Yeah.
It's Barbie again. That thing's still got kerosene all over it. And Cactus just took it to his head. And now he's...
Oh.
We have a split. And now that's stuck to his top. He hit him. Even the referee's selling it. Fantastic.
Looking away, yeah.
We have a... Cactus is putting on Socko.
Look at that.
Orton's eyes. Orton's eyes saying the mandible claw.
So it really is Mick Foley that we're getting in this matchup. It's like all I would have loved him just to do a dude love dance on the rampway. I would have loved that, but you know, one
day. You're asking too much, man.
In the multiverse, he did.
In the multiverse, he's got one eye. And he's... dude love is the... Oh, another... God.
Jesus.
Another shot to the meat. Oh, that is a nasty look.
He has to cut his eyebrow.
Yeah. Another shot with the mandible claw.
Hmm. Oh, look at that. RKO.
RKO.
Do it. Pin him.
Oh.
It's a great matchup. It's been awesome.
Fun. What are you doing, ref? Step... Yeah, look at the...
Kyoto with tacks in the hand.
Yeah, he's hurt himself.
Oh, shit, I shouldn't have done that.
You know they blur his face out on everything now in WWE related now? Because he left on bad terms with them, he did.
There's another one.
That's going to be
Here's another king. That's it.
That's it.
Awesome, that match. Was very nice. I'm giving that a clap. That was awesome.
That was nasty. Nasty, nasty match. Just like this podcast, it's nasty.
Well, we had a bit of a list of matches, guys. Alan, why did you choose this one from that list? Did it just jump out? Good memories? Good times?
Mick Foley, of course. Cactus Jack, whatever the hell. I do vividly remember the tack spot, which was...
Mm.
Brutal. And even thinking, oh, here's Flair and here's Batista. You never thought there was a hope that, Flair's just picking him out too. Or a brother had been that. The Big Show did it to me on ECW. they got him all off his back pretty quickly.
Yeah. It's that old theory that we said about even, with Kenny Omega and Moxley. It just disappears, just fades away.
Yep, it's wrestling. Flair holding up that Intercontinental title.
But didn't also, we did it on Oh My God, Foley and Flair. They had a pretty good war too at SummerSlam.
Yes, they did.
I think they had a last man standing, didn't they? Yeah.
No, it was an I Quit match.
That's what it was, yeah.
Yeah, nice. I Quit, and here we go. Watch this. Right here, I had to look at that and go, God damn, Randy, you're pretty boy. You can take a bump like that. You're a goddamn legend.
But it's his chest, both forearms and back, and also his butt. Look at that. And his thigh.
Yeah, thighs, yep. Oh, that piece of wood sticking out, that is haunting. I mean, that was a hell of a spot, but come on. That's nasty looking. That is really nasty.
But even Randy hit the bat as well. His shoulder.
Yeah. Grazed his arm. Evolution.
You're going to see Batista going, I ain't dealing with that shit. Never.
Yeah, never. No, I'm going to go to Hollywood. I'm going to get jacked up. I'm going to star as Drax the Destroyer. And then I'm going to go and work in DC. James Gunn's going to be my best man, my best friend. And he's like, no, I'm not taking any of this silly shit.
Well, that's it. Any closing comments, Al, before we finish up for what's been a great episode?
Fantastic match right there. I really enjoy watching Mick Foley, Cactus Jack, Dude Love, whatever you name him. He's one of my, again, there is a reason why he's one of my favorite wrestlers of all time. And just to watch Randy Orton at a very young age, I believe he was in his early 20s here. Just watching him just be, just the little seeds of the, he was known as a legend killer at this time, but now he's the hardcore legend killer. So a very cool match.
No, that's awesome. All right, guys, before we finish up, we want to give a shout out to not one, but two Grit Wrestling Podcast. Check these guys out.
What's up, folks? It's your boy, the Impact Player, Mr. Philly Ray, inviting all of you to check out the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast. Join us as we cover all things current in the world of pro wrestling, as well as paying homage to the old school, the squared circle. So listen in and find out why we are the recognized symbol of excellence in sports entertainment broadcasting. Find us on all social media platforms and anywhere you get your podcast from. And as always, we are the proudest members of the Shining Wizards Network and Rant Entertainment Media.
The Mark Order Podcast is the only show you need if you're looking for dedicated coverage of everything AEW on the Shining Wizards Network. Join us live on YouTube every Wednesday night at 10:15 p.m. Eastern after Dynamite to chat along with the show. If you can't join us live, listen to us on your favorite podcast platform. Follow us on all social channels at Mark Order Pod and use the hashtag #JoinTheMarkOrder, because if you don't find us,
we will find you.
Well, guys, you know what time it is. Alan's left the room, so I have to give a bit of a readout of our sponsors and affiliates. So Rogue Energy is a premium energy and focus supplement designed to optimize your mental and physical performance. And if you check out rogueenergy.com and use our promo code 2702 at checkout, you will get 10% off products. Next one I want to talk about is Luxy. So Luxy can enhance your performance with their analog grips. These grips can be used on your PlayStation, your Xbox, and your Nintendo Switch. And if you visit Luxy.com and use the promo code BRO247, that's BRO247, you get a total of 15% off products. Up next is Triumph Chairs. So Triumph Chairs is a gaming chair company specializing in comfort and performance. Visit TriumphChairs.com and use the promo code BRO247 on checkout to get 10% off products. Up next is Clinch Gaming. Clinch Gaming manufactures custom professional gaming controllers that you can use on your Xbox and your PlayStation, and use our promo code BRO247 on checkout to get 5% off products. Up next is Player One Coffee. So Player One Coffee develop coffee recipes custom tailored to gamers, creative developers, and just about anyone who really enjoys a cup of coffee. And lucky last is victoriouseyewear.com. So Victorious Eyewear developed blue white blocking gaming glasses designed to eliminate digital eye strain and help you maintain comfortable and focused. Visiting victoriouseyewear.com and use the promo code BRO247 at checkout gets you 10% off. So again, shout out there to Victorious Eyewear, Player One Coffee, Clinch Gaming, Triumph Chairs, Luxy.com, and Rogue Energy.
All right, guys, we are back, and we're at the tail end of what has been a quick episode, but a good one. We've got some other content coming out in the later part of April, going into the early part of May. Alan, where can people find you?
Right down there, it says AlanRoss84TBK. That's my Twitter handler. That's where you can find me. You can also find me on the Insta. I've got a LinkedIn, so I'll make sure to throw that up as well, too. I'm on Fortnite as well, too. I do Twitch. That's TTV Roscoe Bosco 84. It's always a bit of fun trying when I get online and people, you know, you're playing with a bunch of randoms, especially on Fortnite sometimes. It's like, TV Roscoe, Roscoe? Is it Roscoe? Hey, Roscoe. And I go, yeah, what's up? Oh, my God, you talk. Okay, yeah, here you go. So it's yeah, it's always fun to hear people go, what does that mean? It's just my name, mate. It's just my name. Yeah. That's where I
am, actually guys. One thing that my son asked me to ask you, and maybe we do a whole episode on it.
Mm-hmm.
Where did Roscoe Bosco come from?
Do you want to know now or are we going to wait?
Is it worth a whole episode?
Nah, not really at all.
Tell us now. We've got a few minutes.
Also, too, you know what I forgot to do? Last episode, I said I was going to go find my white shirt, my TBK shirt. I totally spaced. I'm looking at myself now. I've been wearing this for majority of the day, and I was like, I'm going to get my shirt out. I was going to get it out. I've forgotten it. Next episode, looking right in that camera, that I will wear the TBK shirt for the whole show. Now, what would you like to know? Where this the name Roscoe Bosco 84 came from?
Where'd it come from?
There's a used to be an Australian streamer named Sam, and he was known as Aussie Battlers. And he, a couple of years ago, did online streaming on Twitch. So he would jump on there and he would do other games, like he would do COD, he would do Fortnite was his big things. He would actually run like tourneys or tournaments. So he would actually, people could jump in and actually play along. You could play alongside him or you could play against him. And it was kind of fun. It, most of the time was very toxic because, again, Fortnite can be a very toxic game. And then my original name was actually this one down here when I started off on Twitch on was AlanRoss84. And just one time, just jumping into some of Sam's streams, he gave me the nickname of Roscoe. So, and then he just went Roscoe McBosco. And then that sort of continued after that. And I went, I really like the name of that. That's really kind of cool. So I adopted the name. I looked around online and I was like, Roscoe Bosco. No one's really gone with that name. Ross is my middle name. Bosco, it takes me back to the Seinfeld episode. If you go the Bosco was Mr. Peterman's, I think, Elaine's boss, mother's last words before she passes. And then when you find out that it's George's pin to his actual card. And so when he goes, I've never told anybody this, and he's telling this woman who's on her deathbed and says to her, you know, my pin name is actually Bosco. And she's like, Bosco, Bosco. And then she comes alive and then she dies. And then Mr. Peterson walks in and goes, what do you mean, Mama? What does that mean? And then right at the end, the gentleman has his stuck in the, his sleeve is stuck in an ATM machine for some reason because there's a fire also broken out thanks to Jerry and his leg falling asleep. And he has to, George gives the man his card and he goes, what's the pin of your card? And he goes, what do you need my card for? He goes, I need a pin. And then he finds out, he doesn't say it, but it's implied what happens next. So interesting enough, it's a very long story, but I'll continue going on. Sam doesn't do streaming anymore. He was at that time a very large gentleman. He's also on TikTok. He's, because when he was on Twitch, he was Aussie Battlers. And I believe
I think I've heard of that before.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was a big boy. And when I mean a big boy, he was quite heavy on the side. Mm. And most of his streams, he would come on and he, you know, would eat chips or he would be eating shapes or something like that. And, you know, he just looked and he would, and his main thing too, if he actually got like a goal or something on his actual Twitch stream, he would do a shooey. Now, if you're not from, if you're around the world and you don't know what a shooey is, it's actually when you get a shoe and you get a beer and you tip the beer into the actual shoe and then you scull the beer out of the shoe. It's one thing I've never done and I don't particularly want to. I've done it with a glass boot with proper beer in it, and I went to an actual place and it was quite nice. I didn't scull the beer. I thoroughly enjoyed the beer. So I'm trying to think more of it now. Yeah, he doesn't stream anymore. He actually turned his life around. His life was always great. He's got a couple of kids. He's got an absolutely gorgeous wife, very much in love. And then he just all of a sudden, about 2 years ago, he started shredding the weight. The weight just disappeared. And a lot of his content that he would put up was very different stuff that we've seen him do before, where most of his stuff was sort of self-deprecating humor. He was making fun of himself, or he'd be making fun of his missus, and his missus would make fun of him. It's the Aussie style. I do that quite a lot myself. Then the content changed on the TikTok. Became a little bit more adult, a little bit more edgier. Their Instagram posts were very, very different, he and his partners. And then all of a sudden, they just came out and said, oh, yeah, we're no longer doing gaming anymore, and this little thing over here on TikTok is not going to be just for humor. We are going to promote our OOF. And it was just, baking powder? Where did this come from? It was something that we thought I never in the likes of him going, and he shredded a whole lot of weight, and then he and his missus started doing OOF stuff. And he's got his own page. He promotes that quite a bit. And she's got her own page, and she promotes that quite a bit too. And I was just, I mean, he and I still talk. He still, every now and again, will jump online, maybe through his TikToks or even on his Insta. And he will still call me that. Even though on most of my socials, I'm known as Alan Ross or just Alan, he knows who I am. So he still calls me Roscoe. But that was a very interesting tale, because it only happened about four years ago when that, on that time where I actually was, that little nickname of Roscoe Bosco was gifted to me. I thought, you know what, I'm going to run with it. But then to see Sam and his missus to go, you know what, we're done with the, this little gaming business now. We're going to be grown-ups. And we're going to start doing adult stuff. It was just like, sir. Sir? Wow. Okay, sir.
But it shows you how people can make money. Like, you make more money, I think, doing it that way. I don't do gaming streaming. I've been keen to do it. I know streamers can make cash by promotions and discounts, promoting them, you know, discount codes to viewers and fans. But I think OnlyFans, people make a killing. And we've seen that in the entertainment world, even with pro wrestlers who've left companies making a killing, you know, thousands of dollars a month. It's, why would you want to spend time gaming if you could pull all the money this way? So, yeah.
Well, to be honest with you, I would rather... This is me personally. I've got nothing against anyone doing OOF. Hey, if you want to make a buck, make a buck. I would rather sit on my B-hole than show my B-hole off to make money. So I'd rather be sitting on gaming on my B-hole than everyone looking at it.
I want to make you a T-shirt with that now.
A B-hole. I'd rather make B-hole sitting on my B-hole.
Yeah, like you have a controller. I'd rather sit on my B-hole with a controller than show... Well, I won't draw an actual... Well,
please don't. No one needs to see that.
We might scrap that idea.
Please. That's on the maybe pile.
Well, I was going to think, where's he going to wear it? Like,
I'm not wearing it on the show. I'm not wearing it here.
It just sits on the background like there.
Blurred. The actual asshole is blurred. We can't put this on too. We have to take the shirt down. Why? It's promotional. I don't care. We're not doing it, Al. YouTube has been, it's striked our channel twice now. That's enough. Oh, sorry.
Yeah. Well, there we go. I've always wanted to know where Roscoe Bosco come from. Because I'm like, yeah, I've never, like, I've known you on PlayStation for a while, but I'm like, I wonder why he changed his name. And then my son goes, ask him tonight. Ask Uncle, where did he get the name from? I said, okay, I'll tell him.
So. Yeah, just tell him the first half. You don't need to tell what happened, how the ending is. Yeah.
Ah, yes.
Yeah.
I'll tell him when he's older. There we go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, tell him that.
Well, guys, this is it for what has been a great episode. You can actually check us out on all of our social streams, on our Twitter, our Instagram, our LinkedIn, and also check us out, again, on the Universal Wrestling Podcast, and that's at the UW Pod. That, again, is the UW Pod. And thank you again to Nick, to Keith, for inviting us to actually be on your channel going forward. We've had our YouTube for a while. They've got a great following, the Bloodline Entertainment Network, all the great shows on there, Wrestling DeLorean, The Tim King Show, Top Rope Wrestling Talk, Circle of Debate, Clark Street Wrestling, and now the broadcast is slowly adding some international flavor to that. But once again, as I say each and every episode, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, or...
good night.
Guys, thanks for sticking around. Now we're going to go back and listen to a classic TBK moment.
I have been watching a few of Kurt's matches in TNA, but he was different then. It was just, you could tell he was still in a lot of pain. Like a lot of pain.
He was on a lot of pills, wasn't he?
Towards the end, yeah.
Wasn't he going through a lot of...
Yeah, well, his whole relationship with Karen Angle broke down and
Jeff walked in and said, I got a guitar and a dick.
Play your song
with my dick and guitar. Well, I love this show. I love how we do things here. We give you a bit of good professionalness about what's going on in the world of wrestling at this time and what's going on today, and then we'll make a dick joke with a guitar.
I would love to count how many dick jokes we do in a show.
It's good.
How many we actually do.
I like to think it's all the shows that I listen to. I listen to a lot of Kevin Smith shows. I listen to a lot of Conrad Thompson shows. So if you're a fat American, I love you.
I think because our show, it's really unedited.
No.
And it's real. My.
Yeah, it's raw.
I edit like sound levels and I add music. I don't take things out. Yeah. It's a real honest take.
Yeah, it's a real take.
On two Aussie brothers, just two dads.
Talking a lot
just laughing, being idiots. So.
Can you talk about that? Yes.
Yeah.